Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The Clatsop Soil and Water Conservation District is charged with providing technical services to landowners in Clatsop County to improve its natural resources. As part of the district's educational outreach program, there are two upcoming workshops, one of which is happening tomorrow, Thursday, May 20th, in Cannon Beach. Stormwater Solutions for Coastal Communities. Today, we'll speak with Clatsop Soil and Water Conservation District Technician Dave Ambrose to learn about the challenges for landowners in our area with noxious weeds and a variety of other truly interesting topics, which actually really apply to all of us who live here. Thanks so much for being here today, Dave.
Thanks for having me, Donna. Always a pleasure to be here.
It's always good to see you. You've been involved with KMUN for many years.
Longer than I've been with Soil and Water District.
And yes. How long have you been with the Soil and Water District?
This will be 10 years.
10 years, all right.
10 years.
And Dave, tell those listeners who may not be familiar with you a little bit about Dave Ambrose, and then we can go into the Soil and Water Conservation District.
Well, I won't go too far back. I'll just start with when I moved here in the late 80s. I'd been overseas for about 12 years, moved here to the coast, kind of throwing darts at the map, so to speak. And worked in municipal drinking water plant construction for a few years. And that allowed me a lot of free time to get involved with KMUN radio. Worked in the news department here, had a few radio shows through the 90s, and then got involved in the Soil and Water Conservation District in the year 2000.
And how long has the Clatsop Soil and Water Conservation District been around?
Well, the concept of the districts goes back actually to the Dust Bowl in the 1930s. It was started by a very far-seeing fellow whose name escapes me right now, but who was a hero to many conservationists in the country. And the concept started that the federal government would partner with local agencies, and the soil and water districts are based on a county unit. Each district has a board of directors, who are elected by the county voters, and they set the policy for the soil and water district. So it's a long tradition. The one here in Clatsop County is actually an amalgam of a few smaller districts. One of them that was formed along the beach, the Dunes Conservation District, that goes back, I think, to the 30s. The Nequanicum River had its own conservation district, and they were all amalgamed into a countywide district in the early 70s.
Interesting. It was inspired by the Dust Bowl. I mean, it takes a crisis for sometimes people to say, wait, how are we taking care of our resources?
Yeah,
what do we need to do?
There's a little anecdote that this hero was giving testimony at hearings in front of Congress to set this whole system up, the federal system called the Soil Conservation Service. And on the day of the hearings, an enormous dust cloud that had originated in the Dust Bowl in the Midwest engulfed Washington, D.C. And it was a very stark reminder of the immensity of the problem that was occurring. So,
you must feel very good about the work you're doing.
Yeah. Although we don't have a lot of formal agriculture as we see it today in Clatsop County, we have three dairies, which are probably the biggest agricultural economic engines in the county, as well as all of our forest resources. I still get a lot of opportunities to work with smaller acreage landowners, and there's a lot of receptive people there. I'm dealing with a lot of issues that are not on the big agricultural map. Horses are not certainly something that the bigger agricultural sector deals with. So I get to work one-on-one with a lot of people who are, in some senses, a lot closer to their land than the big industrial agricultural users, say in the Willamette Valley.
Clatsop County is made up of small landowners, small pieces of property. So you work with people through your job as the district technician. Mm-hmm. You work with them to determine the best way to work with the their soil to enrich and enhance it, to deal with noxious weeds, to deal with water quality,
wildlife. The Soil and Water Conservation District, unfortunately or not, almost all of my funding comes directly from the Oregon Department of Agriculture. And they have a set of charges that that come along with that funding. So there are certain things that I can do and certain things because of funding that I cannot do. And those things that I cannot do mean that I have to find grants to do those kinds of things. Like the whole weed program is funded by outside grants outside of my basic salary that comes from the Department of Agriculture. So it gets a bit challenging to fill the complete role of what some other districts in the state have. Other counties actually have a tax base, a property tax base, that they can then work on a lot more issues than I'm allowed to by my funding.
So let's say then that every county in Oregon has a Soil and Water Conservation District.
Yes, some even have two.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the funding, which comes from the Oregon Department of
Agriculture,
has certain stipulations saying, but some of them may not apply to Clatsop County then. Mm-hmm. And so then that means that you don't get that funding. You have to figure a different way to fund something which is a unique problem to this area.
Yes. Like noxious weeds, say. We have a big community that lives behind artificial dikes that are actually have the land below high water tides. And they have a lot of issues that aren't addressed by any other agency in the county. And so I spend some of my time working with them about leaky tide gates, how do we manage the top of the dikes so that we can keep our cows off them and satisfy other restrictions that are put on dikes by the original builders of those dikes, the Army Corps of Engineers. So there's a lot of other issues that are not directly a mission of why I get money from the Department of Agriculture, but they're problems that the landowners that I deal with are facing. So I can't divorce myself from part of their problem and say, look, I got to put on blinders here and only work with you on water quality issues on your farm. There's a whole group of issues that need to be addressed, and I try to do that the best way I can.
Is the service that you provide a free service to landowners?
Yes.
And how it is free, okay? Mm-hmm. And then how do the landowners find you, or do you find them?
A lot of it is word of mouth. I work in most of the watersheds where most of our lowland watersheds are where the private holdings are. Everything kind of uphill from the coast and the river is pretty much industrial or state forest. I don't work much with the forest people except for small land holdings, maybe 40 acres or so of a forest. So once I start working with one landowner in an area, there's always a community of people in that area, and word of mouth usually gets around. The other way I contact people is through something like what's happening tomorrow, a workshop. People come, learn a little bit more about an issue. We have regular workshops about horse ownership and what's the responsible way to use your land in conjunction with your horse so that your horse is healthy, your land's healthy, the water quality's good. I make a lot of contacts that way also.
I would think, Dave, that you would have people who might not be aware that this service exists. Let's say someone comes in, they buy a piece of property, maybe near Jewel or something. It's 30, 40 acres. There's a little bit of timber. There's a little stream. There's a meadow. Mm-hmm. They think, oh, I want to build a barn for my horses. I want to do something with livestock. I want to do something with with my land, but maybe they don't know the best way to do that. And so rather than just say, I'm going to do this, it would be wise of them to contact you. And then you could come and say, well, this particular soil here is clay, so that would not be the best for this. Is that correct? You go out and you assess the land.
Right.
And then you
Along
talk together about what are their goals, what would they like to do, and is it feasible for that piece of property?
Mm-hmm. You've hit it in a nutshell. And that's a planning process that, going back to this fellow in the Dust Bowl era, that planning process has evolved in a federal agency called the Natural Resource Conservation Service. They have a very well-defined way of planning for a farm. Conservation planning is what they call it. Just what you said. Take an inventory, sit down with the landowner, say, here's what we've got right now. Where do you see your issues? Where do you see your problems? And then how can we work together to make those
So that it's healthy. So that it's a healthy situation for everyone.
A sustainable situation.
You mentioned earlier that noxious weeds, well, I don't know if they're not part of the program, but noxious weeds are a problem everywhere. So why wouldn't noxious weeds be part of the mission of eradicating noxious weeds? Why wouldn't that be part of the mission and be funded? Why wouldn't the Clatsop Soil and Water Conservation District have funding for that?
Oh, well, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it happen. If you look at the spectrum of soil and water conservation districts throughout the state, there's a wide range of how much they're involved in noxious weeds. Some of the counties have a noxious weed board that's set up by the county commission, and they get their own funding stream, sometimes from the county, sometimes, as I do, through grants to deal with the noxious weeds. And if there is a weed board, they actually have regulatory powers. So that if your next-door neighbor has a problem weed that's causing you problems, the county could force that other landowner to do something about it. And if he didn't, go on his land, do something about it, and charge him for whatever it costs to do something about getting rid of weeds. We don't have that situation here. Everything we do is voluntary.
Okay, everything's voluntary. I do. It's a sad thing because many of the noxious weeds are beautiful when they're in bloom. I mean, Scotch broom is in bloom right now. Isn't it
Scotch
gorgeous?
Broom.
And yet it is invasive. It's noxious. And what we're really trying to do is get back our native vegetation.
Right. So this year, for instance, I'm trying to make a quick mathematical sum here. I've got about $40,000. In grants for noxious weed control. A big chunk of that's going for knotweed, Japanese knotweed, and the other knotweeds that we have in our county. And most of that is state money from another department of the Oregon Department of Agriculture. Some of it actually comes from a nonprofit based in Washington, D.C., called the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. And that's allowing me to do a lot more this year, especially with what the focus on the upcoming workshop will be on June the 10th. And that's the new invasive species that we're seeing in the county. Some are just up the river in Columbia County, headed our way. Some are down in Tillamook, heading our way. We're trying to get as many of the people who are out in the environment, parks people, road crews, state forest people, who are out in a lot of the high traffic areas where we would expect to see new invasive species come in, get them up to speed on identifying a group of about 11 new invasive species that are either just starting in our county or are ready to come here. The concept being, if you get them while it's just a little patch in your backyard, or a little patch beside a trailhead, you can get rid of it.
That's encouraging because that does. That's
if you wait until it gets like Scotch broom.
Yes,
I don't care how long you work on Scotch broom.
Exactly.
And this is, and I really appreciate a lot of the volunteer work that goes on with Scotch broom throughout the county because it is a big nuisance to landowners. And if you out there listening have Scotch broom. There are some good ways to deal with it and some bad ways to deal with it. So if you are planning on doing something about your Scotch broom, try giving me a call first because I've got a couple of tips for you that will save you a lot of time and effort down the road.
Oh, that's great, Dave. Okay. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and my guest today is Dave Ambrose. He is the district technician with the Clatsop Soil and Water Conservation District, and they work with landowners, the Soil and Water Conservation District, Dave in particular, to assess what the land looks like and what are the challenges on the land, what's the water quality like, what's the situation with regard to, well, let's talk actually, Dave, why don't you just say what are the unique issues in Clatsop County that you deal with? You've already talked about dikes, noxious weeds, horses, which can be very hard on the land,
yes,
if not handled properly.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the issues that are unique to Clatsop County that you deal with?
Well, as we all know, we have a lot of rainfall here, and a lot of rainfall in a concentrated part of the year, and it causes a lot of erosion. And consequently, a lot of our rivers get silted up. You know, if you look out at our landscape, because of the storm in 2007, we're seeing a lot more silt and what we call bed load entering our rivers. Stream channels are getting filled up, and literally changing. The Lewis and Clark River is a good case in point. It's meandering a lot more than it ever did. And of course, if you've got a house beside the river, and it was 50 feet from the river, and now it's only 10 feet from the river, you've got a problem. And it's frankly a regulatory nightmare to do anything about it. And I've been working on this for a number of years with landowners, and have a lot of expertise in helping a landowner get through that regulatory minefield to be able to do something meaningful to save his house, even sometimes. It comes down to that. So I do some of that. We have a population of livestock that still causes a lot of water quality issues. Beef cattle that are not fenced from their water sources to a large degree that are adding to our water quality issues. That's something that's always going to be here. Horses still are our problem. And dealing with manure, dealing with the waste products from all this is still quite an issue in the county.
Well, one of the things that I think is great, Dave, and I really want us to be able to talk about these two workshops, the Stormwater Solutions, the Noxious Weed Workshop, but one of the things that you do is you educate yourself, you travel, and you go to workshops, conferences, you learn the latest things so that you have an incredible amount of knowledge to help people if they are having problems.
Right, and you have to keep up to speed on that. It wasn't that many years ago, and this would be back probably in the early 90s, I think. I have a couple of pictures in my office of Bierman Creek. One of my board directors is standing next to Bierman Creek, and it's got a beautiful cover of low shrubs along the edges of it, some big pieces of large wood for fishkin height in it. That's the before picture. The next picture is the after picture, which to them at that era was improving the water course. It's completely denuded of vegetation and rocked for a whole stretch up this river. So the whole technology is of what we're doing is still evolving, and we're still finding out more things about hydrology in the rivers, what happens with nutrients when they go into the soil. So I have to continually keep up on all that to make sure that I'm not giving people information that's going to lead them down the wrong path.
Too. Exactly. And I'm fascinated by methane digesters and energy capture.
Oh.
And let's just take a minute before we go back to talking about the workshop tomorrow in Cannon Beach and then the other workshop of noxious weeds. But let's tell the audience here about what you just learned at this conference you went to about methane digesters and energy capture.
Yeah, that was just a few weeks ago. We had a presenter from the University of California, Davis, and they're kind of at the forefront of a new generation of methane digester systems. They have a very well set up test bed, so to speak, methane digester that was developed by a woman, a PhD at the university, that will now take a whole range of feedstocks like food waste from restaurants, dead animals, the manure streams from a dairy, a piggery, newspaper, paper in general, cardboard, and make methane, very efficiently make methane gas from this system that feeds an internal combustion engine system, makes electricity, and powers part of the university. The next step is to build one that's going to power a new dormitory at the university that'll house 600 students. It'll heat the whole building and provide all the electricity for it. He also showed some pictures of his parents' home in Germany, a 1,000 household village that now provides all its power, all its electricity, all its heating in a climate that's sub-zero part of the winter, from a small dairy, piggery, and their food waste stream from this village.
So the waste products, all these waste products, then create the methane, which then, through the internal combustion, provides this mm-hmm. energy.
Right.
Oh, that is incredible.
It is incredible. I was kind of embarrassed for us in the U.S. to see Europe being so far ahead. But on the other hand, Europe's been dealing with very high energy prices for a lot longer than we have, $8 a gallon for gasoline. So they've been forced to find solutions that we haven't had to face because energy's still cheap here, relatively speaking. So, but the day will come. And to that end, I'm doing a lot of research on this issue and trying to marshal some forces here in our county to work on something like this methane digestive system.
That sounds like it's just a win-win for everybody.
It is. I've talked with the folks at Western Oregon Waste. I said, you know, how would you guys be willing to divert your part of your waste stream to a project like this? They said, you bet. They have to haul all this stuff down to McMinnville every day. And all this energy that's in this waste stream is just going into a landfill. It's not being used. We're wasting all this energy.
Oh, that's so very exciting. It really is. All right, now let's talk about this workshop tomorrow in Cannon Beach, which is at the Tolovana Inn. It's from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's all day, and everyone is invited, actually. And I like what it says here, the Stormwater Solutions. It says, Stormwater Solutions workshops help you turn rain into a resource, benefiting the developer, the community, the environment, and the bottom line. And you have speakers. So what's going to happen tomorrow? And it's there's a very nominal fee of $20 to come to this workshop. Mm-hmm. And who should come and what's going to happen tomorrow at this workshop at Tolovana Inn?
Yeah, well, it's going to be focused somewhat to developers, people who are doing construction, city planners, people who get involved in flooding issues, that's that sort of group of people. But it, of course, it's open to everyone who's interested in this, mostly because, and some of you out there may have come to a workshop we had last year on a concept called rain gardens, which take the rain collected in your downspouts and put it into a kind of a holding pond that doesn't fill up. It percolates into the ground so that the water that comes off your roof doesn't become a problem, doesn't become a concentrated flow of water trying to get off your property somewhere, causing soil erosion. It's going somewhere else. All of a sudden, your next-door neighbor has a big flush of water coming onto his property that he has to deal with. So you're dealing with your rainwater individually, and it's percolating to the ground. Now, of course, here in Astoria, that's something that the city would rather us not do because of our slide issues. But down along the coast in Warrenton, in Gearhart, Seaside, Cannon Beach, it's an option that's probably going to take hold more than here in Astoria.
If you're interested in learning more about this, you can call Dave at his office, which is here in Astoria. Dave Ambrose with the Clatsop Soil and Water Conservation District. They also have a website. So his phone number is area code 503-325-4571. And I'll leave that here at the station afterwards. The website is Clatsop, SWCD, which stands for Clatsop Soil Water Conservation District, .org. So what a great thing you're doing to have this workshop about stormwater solutions for coastal communities tomorrow.
And if you'll notice at the bottom of that form, there's a number of partners involved in this. And that's something that we do a lot of. Actually, this workshop tomorrow, the real driving engine behind it is OSU Extension Service. We have an office here in Astoria. I don't have the number in front of me right now, but they are also a great resource of information. Their role is to provide you with information, not with advice.
Okay.
They'll give you the information.
You make your own decisions.
You make your own decisions. My role is to try to give you advice and guide you on what's allowed and what's not, so to speak.
It's wise for us to reach out and to gather wisdom and knowledge from people who are doing things and who are out there on the cutting edge, like you are with this methane digesting and energy capture situation. And let's talk a little bit about the noxious weed workshop, because that affects all of us. I mean, as if you have just a backyard, a front yard, anything where you have any tiny piece of land, or even if you're hiking or you're on public lands and you see noxious weeds, it's really good for you to know about that so you're not spreading it and you can help eradicate it.
Yeah. And for the, you know, for this part of it, we really need the support of the public in general, because even though I get quite a bit of money every year just to have somebody go out and survey, he's out there looking in the most likely places. But you as citizens are out there walking a logging road. You're in places that I wouldn't even think of going.
So we need to be detectives. We need to be helpful to you. And so tell us about the Noxious Weed Workshop, because we only have a couple minutes left
here. Yeah, it's on June the 10th.
Okay.
It's going to be at Fort Clatsop. It'll be an all-day Saturday event. We'll have live weeds there so that you'll be able to tell exactly what they look like, because there are some lookalikes. And you'll understand the system of reporting what you see and how to visualize what you see and how to document it so that someone else who has to go back and deal with that weed knows how to get there, knows how to get to that spot that you found it.
So. Dave, that is just, I really encourage all of you listening to go to the Noxious Weed Workshop on June 10th at Fort Clatsop. And you can call Dave again or go to the Clatsop Soil and Water Conservation District.
Yeah, I'll have some information up there as soon as I can.
That's something that all of us can do, as we're just walking around. And if we spot something early on, if you
I
say
there. I have some little flip cards that have pictures of them and what they look like. And yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. Take care of the healthy native vegetation and keep out the noxious vegetation, which wants to crowd that out. Dave, thank you so much. We're out of time here.
Oh, boy.
You have one last little thing you'd like to say to people?
No, in the future, with the budgets the way they're going, we may be coming to you, the voters of the county, to look for a tax base for our soil and water district. And looking around at the districts that have them, they've been doing some great things. Some absolutely great things, and a rural living guidebook, which I'm putting together. So thank you very much.
We'll have another program about that then.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, Dave, for the important work that Clatsop Soil and Water Conservation District is doing. Thank you, Terry Wilson, engineer extraordinaire, and Michael Brun, our local talented banjo instructor, for his original theme music for this program. Yes. Yay, Michael. Okay. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, and focus on those good things, expand them, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.